Hi, I'm Aaliyah Wims. I'm a junior and variety staffer for the Odyssey Media Group at Clark Central High School. Can you tell me your name and spell it out for me?
Shelynn Scott, S-H-E-L-Y-N-N-S-C-O-T-T.
What is your position here?
Course teacher.
Okay. Can you tell me, when did your love for the singing and fine arts start?
When did it start? Sixth grade. Band, I was at Clark Middle.
What did you play?
I played the clarinet.
What was the moment you realized you want to pursue a, this career for fine arts?
First day of sixth grade band, I had Mr. Ayers. He was our band director, and just really was enamored with the way that he, you know, helped us all get our instruments out, put them together. We all made a sound. It wasn't the best, but it was a lot of fun, and I was just really pumped up and energized about middle school band, and I remember telling my parents I want to do what he just did.
So that one moment just made you realize that, and ever since then? Okay. What made you choose to work here at Clark Central High School?
Yeah, I'm an alumni here, so I went to school here. I was in band, marching band here, chorus here, played basketball here, so... it's good to come home.
Since you did chorus here and all that, how would you explain your relationship with this chorus teacher? Since obviously you're an alumni.
Yeah, Dr. Rucker's been a mentor of mine since I graduated, since I left, and so that was a big kind of. To me, advantage coming here because he would be here. I don't know how long he's gonna continue to work out of retirement, but to have him here as a mentor, I could talk to him anytime I need to, is huge. Plus the other fine arts teachers, Dr. Kane is very knowledgeable, really good at orchestra teacher, so I can lean on her as well. So there are in-house resources that I can literally just walk down the hallway and talk to.
Can you go more into depth about your relationship with Dr. Rucker since he was your mentor?
Dr. Rucker was my chorus teacher in high school. If you're a student that kind of goes the extra mile, he has been on me during auditions. He has gotten me ready for outside performances, even with the school performances. He's just been a huge... kind of mentor in my life throughout high school. When I went to college, I could still call him, ask for questions, and but he's just an incredible musician. I admire, the way that he teaches, how he exposed me to different kinds of music. He didn't just teach me one type of thing, and he taught me multiple ways of doing different things. He expanded my piano skills. He knew that I was going to need that when I went on to college. He helped spark that interest in voice. I'm an introvert by nature, and so I tried to hide behind that clarinet, hide behind that piano, but my voice is where my talent lies, and he helped me kind of build my confidence and explore that and see that I could be really successful as a singer.
So you say you're introverted by nature, so when you teach your students, since you're new here, obviously it's going to be you don't have as strong as a relationship with your students right now. At least I'm going to assume so. How do you make yourself more extroverted so they'll know that they can come to you and depend on you?
Yeah, I don't change my ways. I stay true to who I am. So if I'm an introvert, I'm an introvert. That's the only way that I'm going to be authentic as their teacher. I found ways to be successful within... being an introvert. Introvert is not a disadvantage. It's just not something that is going to hold you back. It's who you are. That's how I'm comfortable. So I'm not going to come in here and act like something that I'm not. But I will say that in my classroom, I'm more at home than I am at my actual home because I'm doing what I'm passionate about. I'm doing what I love to do. I'm doing what I'm most knowledgeable about. So, to come in a class, you would probably... not think that I was an introvert because I am doing something that I love. But in terms of being a singer, you're completely exposed and your body, when you're on stage and you're nervous, your body tells. Whereas if you're playing the clarinet or the piano, you can be nervous, but you can kind of like get that energy out through the instrument. Vocally, you have to know how to, you know, manage that. So through that, you know, learning through that, you know, all these years that I've been, I'm a singer, has helped me teach my kids and get through to them, build relationships with them.
Since you've taught at Oconee Middle for 12 years mm-hmm. and Loganville High School for 6 years, mm-hmm. how would you compare teaching at those two schools versus teaching here so far, even though it's been like a short amount of time still?
It's different demographics, but the music is always the kind of equalizer. It's the commonality. Kids are kids, doesn't matter where you are. And I was able to relate to middle schoolers. I was able to relate to high schoolers. I think music and talent, you know, kind of X out all of those other things that might hold other people back if those are blocks in their mind. I just go in, love on them, teach them, and we do what we gotta do.
Are there any teachings you've held on to that you want to implant into your, like, new students that you have here now? Since you, like, taken off, like, off-campus voice lessons and all that.
Say it again?
Like, is there anything that you've, what you've been taught, like, during, like, voice lessons off-campus and during course, has there anything that's been stuck to you that you was like, wow, that's, like, different? Like, I'd never been taught that before. That you would teach to your new students?
Me? For my voice lessons?
From the voice lessons you've taken as, like, a teenager in, like, college, like, off campus and all that, is there anything special that you learned that you would teach to your students?
Oh, yeah. Everything that I've learned with voice lessons or at my training at University of Georgia, I implement. They teach you how to teach students how to sing. So I have, yes, put every single thing that I have learned, plus my just natural talent that I was born with. So whatever I started cultivating here at Clark Central, even band, even piano, even the little time that I was in orchestra, the skills that I learned in basketball, my work ethic, I've applied all of that through college to how I am a teacher. All of that has been a culmination of how I am, and I use those things every single day.
Are there any events or competitions you're looking forward to?
We have our fall tour, so we're gonna go to one of our low income nursing homes in town, Denny Towers. We're gonna go there, we're gonna sing and play board games. I'm looking forward to that. That's always a fun time, and it's good for the patients there. We're gonna go to the board office and some elementary schools, try to, you know, boost up our numbers. I'm looking forward to our first kind of performances and getting the kind of the butterflies out. And then we'll have a big winter concert here in December. So,
what was your favorite, like, concert event that you did as a student?
Here we did a Beowulf suite. We linked up with our language arts teachers because we were reading that. And it didn't really come to life until all of the fine arts teachers linked up and the band played the suite. The orchestra was involved. Chorus members sang some of the music. I was in the band for that. But the art teachers illustrated the scenes. And just that culminating thing with all of us, you know, all of the teachers, you know, putting all of the disciplines together really brought to life that story that, you know, I was paying attention, but it just kind of came to life when, you know, there was an expectation that I not only read it, understood it, but now I have to put it into practice in this performance. So that was a performance that stuck out to me at Clark Central.
Would you like to do that here with your students now?
Yeah, that'd be really fun. Yeah.
How do you plan to build up the course program while being here, since that's one of your goals?
Yeah, I have to go to the middle schools. So next semester, I unfortunately only have a guitar, piano, and music tech, which I'm really excited about. So that means there's no, you know, singing going on here. So, you know, you got to turn a negative into a positive. Can't get down on yourself. So when I leave here, I'll go to Clark Middle Monday, Wednesdays. I'll go to Bernie Harris on Tuesday, Thursday. And I'll put in an hour and a half, whatever it takes, you know, to get that number base up. I will continue working with the kids that I'm establishing relationships right now. They will go to the morning and we will have morning rehearsal, teach my day, and then I'll go to the middle school. And I should see the fruits of that labor in about 2 or 3 years. I should get my numbers up so that I'm teaching chorus all day.
Why do you think the number base is low?
There's no chorus at the middle school. So you have music from K to 5, and then when they go to middle school, nothing. You can either do band, orchestra, I think, and guitar at the middle school levels at both middle schools right now. And so when there's not a presence and there's not a chorus teacher there, cultivating those relationships and building those skills, it creates a deficit at the high school. So I gotta go and show that there's an interest, that there are kids at the middle school that want to sing in this county. I gotta show that those kids want to be involved, and once I prove that and prove myself, then I'll see the fruits of the labor here at the high school, and we'll have a booming program here. Hopefully they will hire teachers at both of those middle schools that will help me out so I don't have to work at 3 schools.
So they just completely, so it's like, did there used to be a choir, or it just was never one at all, like they just cut it off?
I don't quite know the history. Like I said, when I was in middle school, I did band. So I just don't think it was something that was promoted, but it's heavily promoted once you get here. But it puts our kids, all these people at a disadvantage. There's 3 years of a deficit. So if you took math K through 5 and then didn't touch it again 6th, 7th, 8th grade, and then tried to come in and compete at a high school level in math, you're behind the buck. You're 3 years behind everybody else that you're competing with in 9th grade, because they've had, you know, math 6th, 7th, and 8th grade. Same thing here. If our kids want to compete and be on a level footing with other high schools, they've got to now make up that 3-year deficit before they can even be in the conversation to be competitive. So I've got to do that work. It's really important that we get teachers there so that our kids have an equal footing.
So for the students, like the new freshmen that just came, mm-hmm. and they didn't take choir in mm-hmm. middle school, and they want to compete with you, how are you going to plan to like get them ready so they can be able to do
Luckily,
that?
Luckily, they got a teacher that has taught middle school, so I know what they were supposed to learn. and we got to cram it in. We got to get it. We have to take care. I can't skip it. You know, I've got to go back and make sure that those things that we were supposed to cultivate in 6th grade, 7th grade, 8th grade, that we get them up to speed, and then we get where we need to be so we can start being competitive at that 9th grade level. It's hard. Yeah, it's not easy. So that means after school. That means summer. That means during the break. That means rehearsing at home, you know, sometime to make up that time that you missed.
What would you have them do during summer?
Summer, sometimes I come in during the summer. I'm here a lot of the time during the summer. I don't require them to come in, but if they want to come in for a couple of voice lessons, I can give them some sight reading exercises, some theory stuff, you know, during the year to help fill in that gap so that they don't feel so stressed out when it's time to compete, when the school year begins. And so we can just slowly, you know, kind of pace it out. When you do stuff correctly and you pace it out at their developmental level, you'll be surprised. You'll be surprised. So I was in the same situation when I was at Loganville High School. They didn't have middle school chorus at Loganville High School. And my literary trio, they're right up there. They won state. They were first place in state with a 3-year gap. So it can be done. You just got to have, you know, the right teacher and the right know-how, and you don't stress them out.
Have you faced any challenges so far being here?
No, not yet. Mm-hmm. Okay.
You said you're excited for music tech. I know you said you're excited because you don't have to, like, sing. So is there anything else you're excited about other than not having to sing for music tech?
Music tech, yeah, you do have to sing. I am, technology is just changing everything, you know? Mm-hmm. And so in music technology, in terms of, like, composing pieces for kids, and you know, laying tracks down on a piano, now your computer can serve as an instrument, your computer can compose the music, print it out, your computer can put a percussion beat in the background where, you know, I would have to hire people. And so I'm excited about that class to learn how to layer those tracks and put a full song composition together. It'll save us some money in the long run instead of just, you know, buying a karaoke track. You know, now I'll be able to do that on my own, you know, that'll save us some money. And it's also, I mean, I guess I'm a music nerd, but it's fun to kind of see how all of that stuff fits together. So I'm really excited about that class and excited to meet those kids that are interested in the same thing that I am, because they might want to maybe want to, you know, lay hip hop tracks, or they might want to help somebody out in a studio, or they might want to make an orchestra composition. It's just going to be really fun.
So this would be like your first time having experience with music tech?
I've done a lot on my own, but I've never had a class. So it will be interesting to be in a room with other kids that are, you know, interested in the same thing that I'm interested in, and we can learn together. I can teach them some things. And now kids have things like Audacity and GarageBand, and all that stuff comes on your phone now. So we can maybe teach me something, and we can put some things together that they're interested in. It's just a great way for them to individually be able to come into a music class and, you know, kind of serve their individual kind of purpose, instead of kind of like, usually in chorus, it's kind of like a team. Orchestra is a team, band's a team. But in this class, you know, I have an interest in jazz music. So I'm going to compose something in jazz. And my neighbor can be doing hip hop, and that person can be doing, you know, a Spanish dance song or whatever. You know, kind of like an individualized interest kind of thing.
Have you, like, composed anything so far? Like, on
I have. Time? I have made karaoke tracks. I have made medleys. I have taken things and edited them for my kids to sing with. I'm really interested and anxious to get to putting a name on some of the stuff that I've done before and just becoming more knowledgeable about that process.
So you haven't, have you like ever submitted anything online or to places, like stuff you composed or no?
No. My tracks have been played during our concerts.
So you would only play them during concerts? You wouldn't?
Okay. I don't send them off to sell them or anything like that, no. But it's a very profitable, like, I want to say competition cheerleading tracks. We're talking about 3 minutes of music, and you're paying that technician $2,500 for 3 minutes of music. That's a pretty profitable, it's an avenue that you can really make a lot of money in. So I'm really interested in the class.
Is there a certain genre you're really interested that you want to compose and, like, help students compose?
I love all music. I mean, you can look at my iTunes and it's got everything. It's got old folk mountain music. It's got bluegrass. It's got hip hop. It's got classical music. Sometimes I get stuck on a Brahms Requiem for, you know, like 3 weeks, and then I'll switch to country music. I like everything. And it's more beneficial for my kids that I like everything. If I only like one thing, then they don't get exposed to everything. So I've got to be like a Dr. Rucker. I got to expose them to all different types of genres. And they got to see that I'm interested in different types of genres.
How do you plan to, like, since you have to make them open to every type of genre, mm-hmm. how do you plan to, like, make them want to, like, violence? Because, like, there's some people that's, like, on a bunch, like, oh, I only like this type of music. I really don't want to listen to that.
That's my job, to invoke that appreciation. I can't make you like it, But I gotta at least sell it. I gotta show you, hey, this is what I like about it. This is what I find interesting about it. And this is what I've taken from it to make me a better this. And so maybe this is how you can find that. You know, your teachers do that every day. You might not be all that interested in history, but hey, this is how history can be connected to something else that you want to do. And if you don't know this and learn this, then you can't be successful at what it is that you want to do. You know, everything's a building block. And so the same thing with, you know, dipping and dabbling in different genres. You know, we're not anything without the blues. The blues is the foundation for jazz, for rock and roll. All of those beats and everything just got sped up as you go through the genres. It makes you a smarter musician if you know that kind of stuff and if you appreciate that kind of stuff. If all I did, you know, I'm an opera singer, but if all I did was sing opera, I can't connect with my kids because that's not what they're listening to.
How do you plan to leave an imprint here while you continue your time and maybe when you leave and go on to do something else?
My goal is to retire here. I'm not really worried about my imprint. I'm just going to come in, work hard, do what I do. I affect my students in different ways. You know, I'm always open and helping them. You know, some of these kids on the wall here have graduated. They've gotten married. They've had kids. I've had them since they were in sixth grade. And so if all they need, you know, is to call me when their mom is sick, or if all they need to do is say I'm nervous about, you know, a baby being born, or Miss Scott come to mind. I went to a senior recital last spring at UGA for one of my students. And I was really, really proud that, you know, I taught her sixth through eighth grade, and then now here she is, taken from my voice teacher at the University of Georgia and graduating with a degree. That's what I want them to do, is to be successful.
Would you ever want to mentor somebody, or have you?
I kind of am a daily mentor every day, but yeah, I've got student teachers. You know, I didn't teach them when they were, you know, kids, but they're now teaching in their respective schools, and they call me. You know, sometimes they call me to actually come and help with their choir, and I am open to doing that. And sometimes they just call and say, hey, my soprano section is singing flat, what do I do? And I just help them over the phone. So, you know, I have to be a constant mentor for everybody. I was just on the phone with a girl last night. She was she's at my old high school, and she wants to focus on voice, but she's a competition cheerleader and she's trying to budget her time. And I'm just telling you from my perspective, me being a basketball player gave me an edge as a vocalist because I worked harder than everybody else. So stay on that team and keep that schedule, budget your time. You're gonna learn stuff in competition cheer that you can apply to being a singer. Don't just put all your eggs in one basket. Spread it out. And that was just last night. So they're always calling me, always reaching out.
Has your family and the education system influenced your decision to becoming an educator yourself?
Yeah, my mom is a fantastic teacher. My mom's a math teacher. She's retired. She taught over 30 years. She taught at Clark Central. She was teacher of the year, teacher of the county here in Clark County. In terms of ever worrying about how I am perceived, I am going to live up to my name. My mom has a fantastic legacy here, so I am going to live up to my name. My sister is taught here, but she's not at the Career Academy. She's a fine teacher, smart. Okay. So, you know, I've got to uphold my Scott name, my legacy. So I'm going to work hard every day to live up to my name.
That kind of goes into my next question. My next question was going to be, how are you going to continue your legacy since your mom and sister taught here in the district?
Right. My mom she had math tutoring when she got here. She taught all day. She ran the tutoring for the entire school. And then when we got home, we'd drive in the driveway, there'd be two cars sitting there for math tutoring. She loved it thoroughly. So, and she's very passionate. She took her job very, very seriously. She took her responsibility to teaching math very seriously. She thought it was just disrespectful not to come in 100% every day for her students and teach them you know, the way that they deserve to be taught, love on them the way that they deserve to be loved. So I got to remember that and stay focused and stay, you know, passionate about what I'm doing. She's something that keeps, you know, kind of fueling me.
Do you have anything to say to students that might always, like, they want to give up easily on stuff, they might not understand or feel like they're bad at it just because they didn't do good the first few times?
Right. I understand. Stick with it. It will get better. You know, some things that you're interested in is an immediate gratification, an immediate, you know, it's going to get better. You'll see that light quickly. Music's not the same way. Basketball is not the same way. You have to really put in a lot of effort to be good at some things, and so you just gotta buy in, dig in your heels, and then get to work and be willing to do that work. You're in a perfect place to do that. I learned that lesson the best here at Clark Central. We work hard. We find a way. It's part of being a Gladiator.
Is there anything else you'd like to add, or any social medias?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you for the interview.